Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video. Today, it's going to be a bit of an abstract one. One that's kind of a bit more general, infused with a little bit of my own experiences. But I've seen a couple of things that have happened in the esports industry that have kind of prompted me to make this video. And today it's going to be about when it's okay to get out of the esports industry. I get a lot of people who message me, email me. It's one of the most common types of emails I get, honestly, where people say, how do I get into esports? How do I get into the business? And I've answered that question a million times, and people still come and still ask, and they think it's going to be great and amazing. And generally, people's ideas about what working in this industry is like, they just don't match up to reality. It's like a lot of things. The grass is always greener. Those people don't know about the long hours, the lack of money, you know, the constant traveling on the road, the infighting, the social media sniping, the politics. There's a lot that never gets talked about. Now, what people don't tell people who get into esports is when it's okay to get out, when it's okay to say enough's enough. And you find a lot of people peddle this idea that if it's your dream, you should keep just doing whatever you want to do. I mean, it's a common kind of throwaway glib statement, isn't it? You know, always go after your dreams, no matter how far-fetched. You only get one life. You got to live it to the max. Now, as somebody that has done that, and been that guy that went after the dream in esports and got to where I am, let me tell you, honestly, I would have been much better served getting off the merry-go-round, getting off that path earlier than I did, you know, have stayed on it. Because sure, it's all gravy now. It's great income now. It's great job now. It's being on TV now. But for all those years, and all the struggle and the fucked up relationships and the health problems and everything else, it wasn't. And people don't ever tell you about that bit, right? And that's why I think you'll see a lot of people in the esports industry that will always offer sort of empty encouragement without really thinking about what's good for you. So if this sounds a little bit bleak, you can just tap the fuck out now and go. But there's a reason for it, and I want to demonstrate why I'm talking about this. So when I was out in Boston, I talked to a CS player called Whitmer. And some of you might know him, and some of you might not. Most famously from, you know, Complexity. Recently, he was in sort of the GX team, and this is a kid that had a lot of potential. He could have been a good player. And, you know, I poked a bit of fun at him. At the time, he made some naive statements, like when he got his break and he joined Complexity and he said, this is the only team I want to be a part of. I know it came from a good place, but it was also a naive statement. No one lives in one team forever in esports. It's incredibly rare. So, you know, I'd always sort of interacted with him. I got a lot of time for him. I think he's a good person. I think, like I say, he was a good prospect. But I bumped into him in Boston at the after party, and the guy that I met wasn't like the same dude. I mean, he was like, you know, you could tell he was in a bit of emotional distress. You could tell he wasn't having a great time. You could see there was stuff on his mind. He was very conflicted. And he came over and sat down next to me, and, you know, he was certainly not necessarily compos mentis, but it was an after party. You know, it's an esports after party. They're a messy affair in general. And we sat down and we talked, and you know, he told me he wasn't having a good time and he was struggling and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how he could get back on the horse. And he was telling me about all this stuff he'd put himself through just to stay in esports and just to keep chasing the dream of being a pro player. So I told him one of the most valuable things I think I can tell anybody else, anyone, at any time. It's not a failure if you miss your window. It isn't a failure. And a lot of people think it is because of this, if you work hard enough, you'll get it attitude. If you go after your dreams, you'll definitely get them. It's not true. not every that cannot apply to everybody. I know it's a nice little idiom to trot out, but sometimes you are in the wrong place at the wrong time and you just miss out. And I felt this had happened to Whitmer. He had been an AWPer when there was sort of an abundance of them. He'd come into the NA scene at a time when a lot of young talent wasn't coming through. You know, he was at Complexity, who were kind of, you know, a second string team in the North American scene. And there was just a lot going on. That his ascendancy, the rise to the top, when he was in peak form and getting the attention and getting the breaks, it wasn't a good time in general for talent in that region. And I wanted him to understand that sometimes the stars just don't align for you to do that one thing. You know, I had opportunities to go and do talk radio, right? I really, you know, I questioned myself about that. You know, could I have been doing a serious radio station daily? You know, could I be pursuing in the footsteps of people that I admire in talk radio? I had mainstream journalism offers, sports reporting offers. Could I be a guy now who's, you know, writing articles for, you know, a big sports publication and writing about other sports other than esports? Could I have the same presence and personality? You know, I don't know, because I doubled down and I stayed in esports and I said no to all of those opportunities. So I'll never get those back now. I'm too invested in what I do. I'm too far into the esports life. Those opportunities aren't going to come around. And when I first started being a reporter, same thing. I got into esports because I'd missed windows for other things. Do I consider that a failure? Well, no, there was nothing I could do about it. I made the best of the situation at the time. That's why I'm where I am today. So I explained all of this to Whitmer, and I didn't know what kind of effect it would have, honestly. I didn't know if he would take it on board. I didn't know if he'd remember it. You know, you never know when you give somebody a piece of advice, right? You never know how they're going to respond. But, you know, I got up today to do some work, sat down at the desk, you know, got the fucking dream setup going on. I got, you know, the Star Series on one monitor and working on the other. And he messaged me to say that he'd put a statement up, you know, a twit longer. So we'll take a look at that, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. So he just said he's decided to stop competing in Counter-Strike, and he's gone off on a road trip, and he wants to address a slew of fuck-ups and forgetfulness, and there won't be any TLDR. And, you know, he said here that missing a window doesn't make you a failure, which is what I impressed upon him. I didn't remember the 1,000 roads to Rome bit. It's true. And by that, in case you're wondering about the statement, it doesn't mean there's 1,000 different ways to get to the same place. In what I was trying to say there, you know, Rome is the success, right? And you don't necessarily define success as a person by only succeeding in one field. You know, I was good at lots of things when I was younger. I tried them. I didn't get as far into them as good. You know, I could have been a sports guy. Didn't work out for me. I wasn't quite good enough. I'm sure that applies to a lot of people in esports too. But now I'm successful in esports. So, you know, there were 1,000 roads lead to Rome indeed. But anyway, he talks about how it was good of me to talk to him. I mean, honestly, you do that kind of thing for anybody, I think. You have a responsibility to, especially as an elder statesman in the scene. And he talks about his career and, you know, breaking into Complexity and everything else. But this is the part where I want to really impress upon you lots of things. So he talks about denial. Offering him a salary and how it never turned up. I want to just throw this in here because we've done videos on denial in the channel. This is the fucking danger, by the way, of these organizations that constantly break promises, because you get young people who are completely invested and give you everything. And if they waste time with you, they may not get time with somebody else. That's why it's really repellent. But he hustled and worked hard, and then he talks about, you know, getting into the team. And he said, you know, I lost 27 pounds in 3.5 months because I barely eat. You know, I threw away everything. I was promised money just to never see it. All of my teammates got scouted by pro teams because no one needed an AWP at the time. I was fucked. After that, I was really depressed. And I broke up with my girlfriend of 4 years shortly after, and it just added to it. You know, so there's something to think about. You know, you can overcommit to something and make yourself unhealthy and put yourself in a position where you're sacrificing other things. You know, it's no secret. I had a long-term relationship crap out because I made the choice to move to America. I'd assumed my partner at the time would come with me. She didn't want to do that. And we were, you know, we were stuck having to sort of accept that we'd had a good run, but the run was over. I don't know if that was the right decision. I don't know if esports over somebody I loved very much was the right choice. You'll never know. But that's where I went, because I felt my window was very much open. But you can overcommit to stuff. You can put, you know, this is quite common with young people. They go into things and they want it so much, and people, and you know, there's all this stuff out there that tells you just keep going and keep driving and keep pushing yourself and be better than the next person and be willing to commit more than the next person. And this is how you get people, you're taking performance enhancing drugs and steroids and not eating and not taking care of themselves and not having the kind of experience you should have as a young adult. They completely go all in, and sometimes all in isn't the play. He talks as well just before the end, saying he doesn't want to leave and he doesn't want to say goodbye, but he needs to find a niche and he doesn't know what it would be. But he knows it's probably not going to be playing professionally. So he's thinking about coaching. You know, he's thinking about other things. But, you know, he says here, this game changed my life. It put me on an airplane for the first time. It put me in a new house. It put me on TV. It put me in rooms in people I had no business being with. And the best part is they all treated me with love. And yeah, you know, esports can be great for that. Yeah, but equally, if you're not going to, if it's not putting food on the table, if it's not making you happy, if it's making you sacrifice everything else, if it's making you unhealthy, you're probably better off taking a backward step and revising. Because to keep blindly going and pushing yourself and going along and hoping that something good is going to just come out of it can be so self-destructive. And not enough people will say this to you. Not enough people will tell you this. And it's not to discourage you, but it's to almost take control, you know, have the confidence in yourself to know that it doesn't matter what people say. You know, I saw in the Reddit thread a bunch of fucking losers, you know, going, who the fuck are you? Sniper Wolf 420. You know, who the fuck are you? What have you done? Nothing, of course. You know, people will do that. People will look at people that came close and mock them. And yet, these people who are doing the mocking are even fucking further away. It's the idiocy of the masses. It's the stupidity born of insecurity. So you just pay those motherfuckers no mind. But I think this is, just to talk specifically about Whitmer for a moment, I think this is the exact move that he needs to make. He wasn't well, you know, when I talked to him. I could see it. I could see how thin and gaunt and drawn out and strung out he was. And the game does that. The stress does that. The wondering where your next paycheck's going to come from. Wondering if you're going to get into a team. Wondering if when you do get into a team, are you going to achieve anything? Wondering if it's all worth your while. Wondering if you should put that relationship on hold. Wondering if you should make that move and leave the apartment and the housemates and everything. It's so many variables to chase a complete unknown that I think if you've gone down the road for a little bit and it hasn't worked out, there is nothing wrong whatsoever with saying, you know what, I'm going to turn around and go back, actually, because I think this doesn't work for me. So I'm sure some people will disagree with it and disagree with this advice. But I'll just show you that even at the highest level of esports, this can be something that you need to think about. So I don't know how many people who watch my channel, you know, follow Dota. Obviously, I like to play Dota. It's, you know, it's, I think it's a great game. And I watch the competitive, you know, scenes. And you might have heard of a guy called Merlini. And Merlini is a former player. And is somebody that's worked as a commentator and an analyst and a content creator, very talented, has been part of the furniture for as long as I've followed Dota and Dota 2, honestly. And he made an announcement recently, which I'm going to bring up for you, where he literally said, you know, enough's enough. And this came as a shock to a lot of people, because this is a guy who has been on the highest level of broadcast. This is a guy who has a career that, you know, you can definitely talk about. This is a guy who has commentated at the fucking international, the Super Bowl of esports. And yet he's walking away from esports. And it left a lot of people scratching their head. If you did, if you've never worked in the business, I'll forgive you for not understanding. But I'll just show you this, if it does come up. Yeah, here it is, the good old Dota 2 subreddit, and I'll just read you the post, you know, and you can see that doesn't matter what level of the game you're at, there's parallels. So he said, let's start out simple. I'd love a dog, but I can't take care of it. I travel too much, and it would be supremely unfair to get a pet. So what? Just don't get a pet. Problem solved. And that's a very nice way of encapsulating kind of the simple things you have to give up. The pet in that example is many, many things. When you're always on the road, one of the reasons I wanted to get out of the freelance life at my age was because it's too much. It's impossible to do anything. It's impossible to look after anyone. You know, I've watched my good friend Anders, you know, bring Walter, his son, out to events and do FaceTimes and Skype calls, trying to keep that relationship going. But if you've got a family, it really takes its toll. Then he says here, and then a bit more complex, what if talent starts undercutting other talent and I get paid less, despite Dota increasing in popularity and mounting prize pools? What if organizers start saying, hey, we're going to cut your rates in half? What power do I have to say no? I can say no, but then I'm not making any money. The opportunity cost of me not going is huge. I can maybe stream in the meantime, do some amateur casts, but that's only a temporary solution for a paltry paycheck. And this is tier one talent, mind you. If I have a little leverage, imagine the leverage of some others. Anyways, if one or two of the tier one talent is missing at an event, the organizer isn't going to take a hit. They know that, and they realize they have more leverage and hence can fiddle with rates as they wish. I'm at someone else's mercy despite being at the top of the field. And he's absolutely right. One of the other things you've always got to remember is, as the talent pool expands, as a game expands, there's always going to be this competition. You look at these people, they're your peers, they're your friends. You might have known them many years. You've worked together on many events, but there may be the events start to decrease, or people start hiring less talent, or there's more talent to hire from, and all of a sudden you're in competition with these people that you care about. What do you do then? What if your good friends are the ones that are in demand and you're not? You're going to expect your friends to go to the wall for you, and maybe they don't get paid, and maybe they don't get to eat. Doesn't always work like that. And sometimes when you're not popular, when you're not in demand, esports can be very lonely indeed. You've got to stand by and watch people you care about and respect take gigs that a part of you, because we all have to have an ego, a part of you believes that should be me. You know, and you'll see this a lot. You'll see these passive aggressive tweets that come out from talent. They don't mean anything by it when they say, I'm so disappointed not to be at this event, but I'm sure X will do a good job. They don't mean anything by it, but what they're implicitly saying is, it should have been me. I should have been there. And it can ruin relationships. Very often you'll find, as a result of this competition, relationships with your peers and professionals will get strained at time to time. And crucially, it boils down to less money in your pocket. He says here, I always try my best to stay in touch with the game, know the teams, players, watch tournaments, and peruse some stats before I talk about the teams. I try not to talk smack about organizers. I'm never late. I keep my word. I play plenty of Dota. I'm reliable and I'm honest. Simply put, I do my job. There's a bit of room for improvement, but job-wise, I'm close to the ceiling. So I have to look for other avenues for growth. Am I skilled enough to play competitively? Clearly not. Do I want to make YouTube videos about Dota? The market isn't sustainable for me. I tried. And of course, this is all linked to YouTube's ridiculous demonetization policies, where your videos are now typically demonetized as you upload them. You have to put in appeal, and then the appeal takes 3 days. And then by the time that's happened, no one's looking at your video anymore, and you've lost the bulk of your income. Do I want to actively engage and promote sponsors for more income? I have morals that prevent me from selling products that I don't like or use myself. This is another part of the fucking esports equation. This is another part why, you know, if you are ethical and moral, or you have a brand, or you have a role that precludes you from getting in bed with certain people, as I do myself, then all of a sudden you can find, well, you know, look at the companies that are doing all the sponsorships now. If you want to reject skins and case opening and all of that, you're going to struggle to make money. Why do you think the YouTubers do it? Do you think they want to do those bullshit videos? No, they don't. But that's where the money is. And if you say no to the money, then again, what are you doing it for? You'll hear a lot about passion. You know, passion is still doing it when you're 30, like Malini is. But it's also arguably stupid, because if you're not making bank off it, you're harming yourself and your future, the future of your family. Yeah, it is what it is. I never shilled for subs because my soul hurts asking other people for money. Do I want to become a variety analyst or caster? No, Dota is my game. Other games piddle away in comparison. Is Dota going to be alive in 5 years? Probably, but it's not guaranteed. And, you know, that's another thing as well. When you get into the business, you never know whether the game's going to last. You can go all in on a fucking game that dies in 2 years. Ask the people in 2010, 2011, who were getting paid a fortune for StarCraft II about that. And then there's even heavier issues. What about when I get married? Don't want to see my wife kids half the month and live out of a hotel the other half? What if I want to purchase a modest house? Can I take a mortgage in good faith and I'm going to have a steady income for 20, 30 years? Absolutely not. Am I actually going to be able to pay that off? My parents are getting old and their health is slowly but surely failing. Can I take care of them? Do I have the money to do that? Do I even have the time to take care of them before they pass away? Am I going to regret the choices I've made in life when I'm in mourning when they eventually leave this earth? They sacrificed a lot for me. For reference, shortly after my grandfather died, I reasoned with myself. He gave up his life and his home so I could be unhappy working ridiculously long hours at a job I don't love. I quit that week and started doing something that I liked, which was Dota. And yeah, this is the heavy reality of it. Time's fucking ticking away, and it ain't just ticking away for you. Family, friends, loved ones. It's, you know, I've known people right now who are working in this industry trying to balance the non-stop presence, the omnipresence of esports, with the fact they know somebody they care about has a terminal illness, and they're watching the minutes tick away. But you got to stay relevant, right? You got to stay out there, you got to stay current. Well, how are you going to feel when that person dies? Will you regret it? Will the morning hit you so hard that you can't even face working in esports anymore? I won't read you the rest, but I'll just, there's one line here that stands out. Half my college friends are doctors and the other half are successful software developers. They're surrounded by peers that push them, teach them, and help them grow. I need that in my life. So, you know, I tweeted out, obviously, wish Merlini the best. And to read a post like that, so candid, is fantastic, I think, in esports. And not enough people do it. Not enough people say this. I'll leave you with an anecdote here. And there's a guy, and I won't name him, just in case this was said in confidence, although I think he would stand by it. But we were talking one day, and this person was a prodigy. somebody so smart was at a top university, and he'd left that behind to go and be a professional player and was successful, was one of the top names in the scene. And we're old now, and we're having a beer. And I was talking to him about it and saying, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy that you were so smart and you were getting a degree from a top university and you were a top player in that scene. It must have been amazing for you. And he just said, I completely regret the decisions I made. And I went, oh, you know what? Like, not staying in the scene longer or whatever. And he went, no, I should never have chosen esports. And I went, what do you mean? And he went, if I'd stuck with what I was doing in my degree, I could be in a research lab right now working on something big, like a cure for cancer, something that matters. And I'm not. Instead, I played video games very, very well. And I'm always be a little bit disappointed in myself for not doing more for mankind, more for me, just more. And we sort of sat there and silently, and then we changed the subject because, you know, I've got to ask myself the same thing. Will I have the same regret? So, listen, I know this is a bit weird and a bit heavy and not what I usually do on the channel, but these are people I know. These are people that I care about. These are people I respect. And I think it's important for you guys. You know, maybe you're somebody right now that wants to get into esports or is in esports, and you're there and you're climbing that ladder. Or maybe you're somebody who's banged your head against a brick wall for many years, just waiting for that break. What I will say to you is, you're not a failure if you realize that maybe it's not going to happen for you in this industry, and you take your talents, you take your skills, and you take your drive, and you apply it to something else. Because I'm sure that you've got other things you might want to do. I'm sure you're good at other things. Just never forget, esports is not the be-all and end-all. And nobody that matters will ever talk down to you for making the right decision, for making a decision that benefits you long-term. And if they do, fuck them. They don't care about you at all. A little bit of selfishness can go a long way in life. All right? So anyway, as I said, a little bit different, but I hope it resonates with some of you. And I'll see you on the next video.